Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, sometimes it's the smallest part of a structure that can cause that structure to collapse and go down. Think about a family. A family operates the same way. I'm thinking about my family. It could be the case that one person in the family is having an absolutely excellent day. I had one of those days about a month ago. Got exercise in the morning. Was able to connect with some parishioners. Was able to accomplish most of my to-do list. And was able to close out the evening with a game with the family in a calm evening before going to bed. But then one member of the family brought absolute chaos into the house and made everything haywire. You see, when our 20-month-year-old, Miles, doesn't get sleep, everybody else in the household doesn't get sleep, and it takes a day or two to catch up. You see, because when one member of the family is not doing so well, the rest of the family struggles as well. God has shaped us into a structure, into a family, so to speak, at our church, at Peace Lutheran Church. Or if you're attending another church, God has shaped you into that church as well, with that church family. And it could be that many in that church family, many in our own church family are doing well, but then there's one or two that are struggling. And as a family, that affects us all. And we come together. Now, in our Old Testament text, this prophet, this wily and crazy prophet named Amos, is dealing with a situation where there is a disconnect. Here again are those words from Amos chapter 5 that were read just a bit ago from Aaron. Amos says this, "For I know your many transgressions and your great sins, that you have afflicted the righteous and turned inward for a bribe and turned aside the needy at the gate." What is that all about? Amos is talking about a moment in time in which God's people had disconnect. Those who were not doing so well, their need and their struggles had no effect on those who were doing well. They were disconnected. That was never God's design. God's design, actually all throughout the Bible, is that his people always have an eye out for those who are in need, those who are weak in the family. In the Old Testament, God's people were going into the Promised Land, and as a family, they had to make a whole bunch of decisions on how they would function. They had to come up with rules for how they would govern themselves. They had to decide on judges who would watch over them and make decisions. They had to decide on holidays, how many days they would take off throughout the year, and when they would make sacrifices. It's all detailed in the book of Deuteronomy. But they most of all had to make a decision on how they would operate as a family. And in an important moment in Deuteronomy chapter 15, God gives some wisdom. God says this, "There shall be no poor among you. If a brother falls into any kind of need, do not shut off your heart or close your hand. But instead, God says, open your hand and open your heart to provide that which is sufficient for your brother's need." Now you might be thinking, that's the Old Testament, that's Deuteronomy. Certainly in the New Testament, things change. It's got to be a different message, right? No. Take, for example, James chapter 2, verse 2. James says this, "If someone comes in wearing expensive clothes, and someone else comes in wearing shabby clothes, and you give attention to the person with the expensive clothes," James says, "you have made a false distinction." Throughout the Bible, God's desire is that the structure of his people is one. Those who are weak are paid attention to. So during Amos' day, say 800 years before Jesus, The people weren't doing that, so Amos had to come and speak this message. And during just a few years after Jesus' day, James had to speak to this group of Christians to remind them that they needed to watch for those who were in need, those who were the weakest. And this message comes to us here in 2020. God wants to remind us to watch those who are in need, the weakest. Why don't we? Well, as I thought about that, I really got to be honest. I think sometimes why we don't want to pay attention to those who are weak or in need is because, let's face it, sometimes there's a lot of drama. Drama is actually an issue here in our text from Amos. You know, Amos mentions the city gates. That was where a lot of drama happened in the city of Jerusalem. You see, it was at the city gates that a lot of people gathered. Those who were citizens of the city, this is where they went to meet foreigners who were traveling in, the city gates. This was where the hot political topics were discussed. This is where the sporting events were kind of debated and this sort of thing. It was the Starbucks of Jerusalem. Let's head out to the city gates and find out what was happening. But you see, also at the city gates was where the poor and those who were in need went. And I can imagine they would offer up all sorts of complaints. Something like this. One person would chime in and say, "Boy, the taxes, I'm not going to be able to live and provide for my family." And another person might have chimed in, "Oh, I went to the market and Joe wouldn't spare me any change. What a jerk, don't go and buy anything there." And a third person would chime in. And if you were hanging out at the gates, there's a lot of drama there. Maybe you didn't want to listen. Maybe there's good reason to turn aside from those who are at the city gates, as Amos says. And so it is with us. Sometimes connecting with those who are in need, it exposes us to drama and being drained. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and what they shared was so heavy that at the end of the conversation, you wish you never would have had the conversation in the first place? So it is true that if one part of a structure is weak, the rest is affected. But I also want to encourage you with this. If one part of a structure is firm and solid, it can make the entire structure sound and firm. Now, I want to show you a picture here. And the picture that we're showing you is of a certain style of bridge. It's called the Keystone Arch Bridge. Now, on this bridge, there's one part of it that is more important than all the rest. There's one part that bears the most pressure. It's called the keystone. It's right on top of the arch as you look at it. That one keystone takes all the pressure that is above it on the stones that are right above. It also takes on the pressure from the stones and what is to the left and the material that's on the right, it squeezes it. Now, if you're going over that bridge with a concrete truck, you're going to look at that keystone to see if it's in good shape. If that keystone is decaying or rotting, there's no way that you're going across that bridge with that concrete truck. But if that keystone is solid and firm, it's a good indication that that bridge is going to hold firm and steady. Whether it be a train, whether it be a concrete truck, whatever it is, you'll go across. My friends, God has shaped us into a structure like the Keystone Arch Bridge. You may be way up on top. You may be way down on the bottom of the arch. You may be up on the left-hand top or on the right-hand side of that bridge. But there's one piece of that bridge that's the most important, the keystone. That's Jesus. That keystone takes on the weight of all of our sin and all of our struggles. The times that we haven't cared for others. Those times that we've not really looked after others and their concerns as we should have. And that little keystone takes on the weight of our sin completely. Hebrews 9 puts it this way about Jesus' death and his sacrifice. It says that Jesus died once for all, and his sacrifice covers the sins of many. If that keystone, Jesus, is weak and decaying, that's bad news for us. That means our relationships aren't going to be firm. That means we're not going to be able to live in this time of stress with hope. It means that we're doomed. But my friends, here's the other part of that. If that keystone is strong and firm, we too will be. And Jesus is firm. He can take the weight of all our sins and hold us up in the structure that is called the church. We rely on him. Now, one indication that we are being supported by this keystone, Jesus, one indication that we're leaning upon him is when we then are able to have an eye for those who are weak, who are also on that bridge, who are weak and struggling. For if that keystone is strong enough, it can support not only us, it can also support those who are weak around us. When I started my ministry, there was a woman that came to see me quite often in Florida. And she often came with lots of problems and difficulties to share and the needs that she had in her life. She'd just lay them out there. One time it was relationship problems. Another time it was problems with her transmission. Another time it was something else. And it got to the point where every time I saw her park out in the parking lot, I thought about what the next need would be as she came into the church. But on one particular day, something was different. She walked with a little more confidence. She walked a little more resolutely. And she had an envelope in her hand. She came through the door of the church. As I was expecting her to lift up another need, she handed me the envelope and said, "I had a few extra dollars and I cut out some coupons. Can you share this with someone else who is in need? This month turned out better than what I thought." You see the change? My friends, as you view in, God has done the same thing for you. You once had a big debt. You once were underwater. But you see, through Jesus' sacrifice, it has been forgiven and covered completely. You are debt-free. So now you can extend grace and mercy to those who are around you, those who are at your city gate. So let's close with the final question. Who is at your city gate? Have you identified that person in need? Do you know their story? Or have you turned aside, like the people in Amos' day, and gone a different route? Now, here at Peace Lutheran Church, I think one of the things that we do really well is actually connecting our members with those who are at the city gates in Philomath and in our community in general. Here's a couple ways that you can really go to work and attack this issue. This month, we're going to be putting together hygiene kits for families that are in need, that have children from ages, from baby all the way up to 18 years of age. It's a partnership with Philomath Community Services. Later in the month, we'll also have the Vine of Moses tree, an opportunity to buy a gift for children that just won't have something for Christmas in the days ahead. We are firmly rooted in a deep partnership with nonprofits that are right on the edge with those who are in need. We Care and Philomath Community Services. And we want to do our best for our own members here in this church that are in need. So be thinking about a way that you can see those people that are at the city gates. Identify someone or identify a project that you can take part in this month. As I close on my message, let's finish with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we confess that like the time of Amos, We sometimes turn aside to the needs of those who are at the city gates. Lord, open our eyes to those needs and hurts. Also, call us to remember how we ourselves have been freed of our debt through Jesus. May we extend his grace, his love to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.